Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Just wanted to let you know that the city has begun planning for a potential tropical weather event later this week. We spent virtually the entirety of our Monday all directors meeting making sure that every department is clear on what their responsibilities are and that they are implementing their emergency plans as required.
This is Amy Miller, the temporary or interim city administrator for the city of Pensacola. Of course, Tim Kinsel is going to come on at the end of the month. And she's just talking about how they've got this, you know, they're in potential planning because they're playing defense against the possibility that this storm, likely to be named, later today, become a hurricane midday tomorrow. And then, you know, after that, it's not anybody's guess, but it's a little bit uncertain for a variety of reasons I'll explain in just a moment. But how is the city of Pensacola preparing?
We'll be having standing 8:30 a.m. meetings from now through landfall. Potentially tomorrow, I think Chief Craner would echo. We hope to have better guidance of what the outlook is. But we have the standing 8:30 meeting from now until further notice, and then at every 12 hours, at least the executive management team will be huddling up, if not all departments. The 8:30 meeting will be all relevant departments.
So they're all going to be standing at 8:30. Oh, that's not what the standing meeting means. Okay. they have the standing 8:30 meeting and then the department heads meeting every 12 hours, which I guess is, I'm guessing every 8:30 p.m. and a.m. They're working on this. Ginny Craner, who is the Pensacola fire chief, says,
"We do expect that we will activate our city's emergency communication center that partners with the Escambia County EOC beginning tomorrow in a monitoring phase."
That's today.
The 4 p.m. update has come out from the National Hurricane Center, and they are anticipating a major hurricane, which is a Category 3 or higher, to make landfall on Thursdays.
All right. So what's going on with this storm? Here's best guess, okay? Best guess is that we don't know for sure what's going to happen with it. And the reason we don't know, as Brad Baker pointed out in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, is because the eye hasn't formed. And until the eye has formed, it's kind of a everybody's best guess throwing a dart at a dartboard for where it's going to start. Now, once you know where it starts, then you can get really good modeling about where it's going to go and, you know, who's in and who's not in the sort of threat zone. But until that happens, and that has not happened yet, we're not sure. Now, if you pay attention to the various charts and models and pictures that come out over the course of the last, you know, 2 days or so, it has tightened up a little bit and it has moved towards our east, basically the westernmost edge of the likelihood zone, I would say. Not the possibility zone, but the likelihood zone is the right point at Apalachicola, okay? Which means, according to that, you know, we have likelihood of not being involved. Okay, we're going to get wind and a little bit of rain, but we're going to be on the clean side of it if this holds. Of course, you know, what we always say is you don't know. And at one point, it was basically anywhere from Pensacola all the way to Tampa Bay, with Pensacola and Tampa Bay being in unlikely territory. But again, because we didn't know where the eye was and we're still kind of waiting for that to happen, as the eye moves, then you have different moves in the projections. So what's the basic status? What's the basic how all of our different agencies are reacting to this? They are preparing, I would say this, they are preparing for the possibility of a storm. They are not planning on a storm coming. You understand the difference? That's how I think they are at, is they are looking at the risks and being prepared, but they're not expecting it to happen, okay? But, as Ginny Craner said, and this is a little bit the emergency management people, because she's the emergency management coordinator for the city. Remember, in an emergency, the city basically submits itself to the county. The city basically lets the county take over this stuff, and Ginny Craner runs kind of the liaison point. But it's basically emergency response is always run by Escambia County or Santa Rosa County in the case of Santa Rosa. In any case, she says,
"Until the storm actually becomes a depression, and a tropical storm, and we understand the full impacts of where the eye forms and how it might move, we don't consider ourselves out of that risk yet.
Yeah, we don't consider ourselves out of the risk. That's kind of where they're not considering us in the big risk. We're just not quite out of it yet, is the way I would say that, based on just, you know, listening to her, listening to Brad Baker and kind of reading the releases that they're putting out. And they're doing all the right things, by the way. We've declared emergency in like 41 counties from the governor, and they've got sand out and, you know, taking the normal precautions. Then we talked to, you know, the Santa Rosa sheriff yesterday, and he said they're just, you know, testing their equipment and just making sure that everything is prepared, you know, in case. 437-1620, 437-1620. The other note I would tell you is that I personally like to pay a lot of attention to the intensity model. That's the one that shows you how strong the wind speed is likely to become and tells you whether it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 category hurricane when it forms and after it continues to grow. And that's been a weird chart. That's been an unsettlingly weird chart because, you know, it had been talked about as a tropical storm. Then it had been talked about as becoming a hurricane, a category 3 maybe at most. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh man, this could be a category 5 when it hits land. And then all of a sudden last night when the model came out, it was like, nah, category 2 maybe. And then it's back to being a category 3 at the top for the worst models all of a sudden thereafter. So it's, that has been... If what you were hoping from this storm is to have a real good picture several days out and be very reassured about what it's going to be, no go so far. If you were kind of like, man, I hate to get worked up about these things and get people worked up about these things when we don't know what's going to happen. It kind of seems like it's not going to be us, but we're kind of not sure about that. And then every time you think, oh, we're good. No, we're not good. Oh, we're good. You know, that's kind of how it's felt to me. So all I'm telling you is this. The way I'm preparing is I'm not doing anything real specific yet. I'm going to wait until probably tomorrow, okay, to really feel like I understand what's going to happen, because by the time it becomes a hurricane, we should have a pretty good idea what's going to happen. So if I'm doing hurricane shutters, I'm doing them tomorrow. At this point, I don't think I'm doing them. You know, if I'm not planning to stock up because we already have prepared. You know, if you're waiting for tomorrow to get like your bread and your water and your beer, well, you know, good luck. So 517 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And also, it has been a quiet summer. Remember, this is why I would say that, you know, in the beginning of the year when they tell you it's going to be a busy season or it's going to be a non-busy season, I honestly hate that announcement because I think it means nothing. It really means nothing. The only thing that really matters is whether a storm comes to this community, or if you live in Panama City, to that community, or, and God bless the Big Bend, man. They've, you know, starting with Michael, it seems like almost every year since then, they've gotten something, right? So it doesn't really matter if there's, you know, 10 storms or 20 storms or 30 storms. The only question is, did a storm come to here at, you know, in November? That's the only question that's going to matter to anybody in Pensacola is, did a storm come to here? And you can be just one. All has to be is one, right? And again, could be a busy season. If nothing comes here, okay. You know, 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you're thinking about that next vehicle and trying to decide, you know, what to buy, if to buy, where to buy, go to Frontier Motors. Look around. They have a wide selection of good quality used vehicles, a year or two. They, what they really kind of specialize in is cars that are maybe 2 to 3 years old, maybe in the like 30 to 60,000 mile range, maybe a little older than that. But, you know, something that you can really avoid that depreciation hit of buying a new car. But you get cars that you know you can depend on for a while because they always warranty them up to 100,000 miles, no problem. And they will take care of you as, you know, I have seen even like dumb stuff. Like we had when we bought our Honda Odyssey, which was only a year old, you know, 13 or 14,000 miles, something like that. And they actually called me 6 months after we bought the vehicle. You know, is there anything wrong with it? And I thought, leave me alone. I already bought the car. You know, that's kind of, you know, I don't know. That's my reaction. And Calvin, our sales guy, is like, no, I just want to make sure everything's okay. And I said, yeah, everything's fine. So 6 months after that, so a year after we bought the Honda Odyssey. He calls me up. He says, is everything okay? And I'm, you know, now I was a little bit more familiar with the process. And I said, well, one of the physical keys, you know, doesn't work. The fob works fine, but they carry a physical key inside for like super emergencies or something. I don't know what you do with it since you can't start the car, but whatever. You know, that's kind of the, and I said, that key just doesn't work. He said, well, bring it in. We'll replace it. And I said, yeah, well, I bet you will for $150. He said, no. You misunderstand. You bought a car with two keys, you get a car with two keys. I brought it in 5-8 minutes later. They had a key cut and that was it. Thanks, Calvin. All right, bye. See ya. You know, like a year after we bought the car, they replaced a part on the car. Who does that? Well, Frontier. You know, that's how they do business. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself, because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
Tune in today at 10 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, when guests from Pensacola State College will be on the show talking about registration, campus tours, financial aid, certificate programs, baccalaureate programs, and everything in between. And 92% of students graduate loan-free. You won't want to miss this show on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Mommy, want to play a game with me and Dad?
Mommy's not feeling good.
You need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with DayQuil VapoCool. It's DayQuil plus a rush of Vicks vapors.
Whoa.
Come on, honey. Let's let Mommy rest.
You guys are amazing. And so is DayQuil VapoCool.
DayQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing daytime coughing, aching, fever, power through your day medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Almost can't interrupt this at all. It's one of my all-time favorite songs. I can see it on John's face. It's just so satisfying. And the album itself is sort of only okay, but oh, man, anthem of my generation. This was, we had a double prom song in my senior prom in high school, and this was one of them. Right, this is one of them. And as I recall, I think there was, isn't there a Rod Stewart, also a Forever Young song by Rod Stewart? And I'm like, you people, stop it. This is not the right song. 5:23 on News Radio 92.3. You know, actually, that album by Alphaville, one of my favorite songs on that album, is it's a super kitschy song. It's called Big in Japan, because they were big in Japan. And you know how the joke about American rock bands is, or, you know, Europeans is, you know, well, they're big in Japan, because that's always like the secondary, or Europe is sometimes the secondary market for these rock and roll bands. Not that I would call Alphaville rock band, but anyway. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Now, David, the thing that makes me the most sad is as I was watching your face, I was watching John's face, and John was so excited and satisfied and relaxed with the soothing tones of Alphaville.
Yeah.
And you were like, I think I've heard that.
No, it was nice. I was enjoying it.
But you don't know that song.
I don't know the song.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
But I was taking it in. I was enjoying it for the first time in my young life.
I was sitting on my inflatable raft at the edge of the pool, right, or the edge of the beach, just letting the waves lap over me gently.
That's right.
What's going on in the newsroom this morning?
Well, President Biden set to address the United Nations General Assembly today. The meeting will give him a chance to outline his foreign policy. Experts expect the ongoing conflicts in the Middle East to be the dominant discussion.
You expect anything to come out of this speech?
No, absolutely not.
No, absolutely not either. No. And it's going to be slow. It's going to be hard to listen to. my expectation.
The U.S. is sending some additional forces to the Middle East. Yesterday, the Pentagon said that move was described as a small number of troops, and the move, they say, is being made out of an abundance of caution. And this next story, I've kind of got a Mandela effect thing going on, because I swear I've read this before, but apparently not.
All right.
So the last full-sized Kmart in the U.S. is closing its doors. I could have swore I reported that 10 years ago.
I was going to say, I had the same exact thought. When I read this story yesterday, I thought, what now? Is this 2015?
Right.
What?
Exactly.
Like, okay, but...
So this one is in Bridgehampton, New York, and it's closing its doors on October 20th. Apparently, one smaller Kmart store is still open in Miami, and that one will stay open, but it's not full size.
That's right. Did you actually? I read a little bit about this other store, though. It's so fascinating. So the other store is a not full size. Not quite sure what that means, but you know, there's the full size ones that are now going to be gone, and then there's the smaller one. The smaller Kmart store in Miami is going to become the last one remaining in the United States. There's still going to be three in the U.S. Virgin Islands. The company that owns these is called Transformco. I kid you not. Transformco, which by law you're required to say it that way, is the company that owns these stores. And Transformco did not immediately respond to, it's like Rex Quando from Napoleon Dynamite, thank you, to a comment by Fox or asked a comment. The Kmart location has been open for 25 years. And the other location is at Kendale Lakes Plaza in Miami. Here's where I thought it got interesting. The Miami Herald reports the Kmart store there leased out nearly all of its former space to Home Goods store At Home. And that Kmart location now has been reduced to what used to be the garden department of the original store. So the last surviving continental United States Kmart is really just the garden department of a not even full-size Kmart to begin with. So I don't even know what they sell there anymore, but it's not a lot.
It's basically like a convenience store.
Okay, all right.
Look at it like that.
It's a Kmart convenience store where literally everybody is already at the Blue Light Special.
Right.
Okay.
I went there last year when I was in Miami.
Did you actually?
Yes,
oh,
I did,
because
I had to. I was like, Kmart,
haven't seen one of these in forever.
Touch hands on it, you know? Can I still get a Blockbuster video here? No. Can I still buy
Tell
a
me the blue light
show?
Is here.
They don't even do that anymore, no? Right? Didn't they try to bring that back for a little while, and then nothing works?
So, yeah.
Okay. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I have a story that I don't want to get into yet because it is such a good story. So entertaining. It involves Donald Trump. Not now. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. I'll do it at 6 o'clock. It is, just trust me. I just don't want to do it now. I just want to get more value out of this story. Meanwhile, the Escambia Children's Trust and the decision to claw back the money or to not exempt the clawback of the money from the Escambia Children's Trust to the Community Redevelopment Agency by the Board of County Commissioners to not grab the money. Basically, they had the choice to not grab the money, and they chose to grab the money and turn what is an educational tax into a general property tax. So your county commission, four county commissioners, there are only four right now until the governor appoints somebody or until the election, which it's looking more and more like he's not going to appoint anybody. They voted to take the money back and turn it into a property tax. So they voted for a property tax increase. So if you hear these county commissioners saying that they did not vote for a property tax ever in their history, that's not true. I think that's a false claim based on this. But okay, Kevin Adams, school board member, says,
I hope their county commissioners will take action to as the other two counties that tax the tax, okay, but at least they return the tax back to the Children's Trust. Hopefully they'll take that same avenue to do. If they do, this will allow critical service to thousands of children. I believe the CEO said four more partnership schools about the cost of that.
And those are vital and effective.
This is what we'll see to lift these children out of these high crime and generational poverty that we've seen.
Meaningfully impacting the changing of these schools.
But I wanted to put that article out there because I know everybody don't have the Pensacola News Journal. But
Julie McQueen article.
I'm not going to forget on this action here, and I'm going to work hard. I hope they look at this and decide shouldn't tax the children like that. And we darn sure shouldn't charge interest if the trust don't have the money to pay it back, charging the children interest.
Shouldn't tax the children and shouldn't charge the children interest. I mean, I agree. Kevin's right about who's paying for the county commission to grab the money.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There are more Hezbollah rockets fired at Israel and Israeli airstrikes in Lebanon after the deadliest day there since 2006.
The Lebanese health ministry says 492 people were killed. Israel has urged those living near Hezbollah positions to get out, and thousands are trying to comply, with temporary shelters being set up in schools and community buildings. Overnight, dozens more targets were hit, taking out rocket launchers with fighter jets.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. California joins at least 14 other states enacting cell phone restrictions in schools.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says the idea is to help students focus on academics and the world in front of them, not their screens when they're in school. A law he just signed requires all public school districts in the state to pass rules to limit or ban students from using smartphones on campus.
Fox's Tom Rigotti. Schools have until July 2026 to comply. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 70 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. It's time to brace for what could be a major hurricane. Governor DeSantis issuing a state of emergency for 41 counties across the state of Florida yesterday. Tropical Storm 9 expected to strengthen into Hurricane Helene as it heads up the Gulf. DeSantis says the storm poses a significant threat of storm surge, coastal flooding, erosion, heavy rainfall, flash flooding, and damaging winds. The suspect in the apparent assassination attempt on former President Trump at a Florida golf course has been denied bond.
Bottom line, the defense's request not met. The government's request was, and so Ryan Ruth will remain behind bars. That is according to a U.S. federal judge. Proceedings just wrapped up. As you mentioned, we were in there for just under right around 3 hours.
Ryan Ruth appeared Monday in West Palm Beach federal court. A judge denied Ruth bond after hearing from federal prosecutors and the defense. Also, the Justice Department revealed new evidence in the alleged assassination attempt, including a letter written by Ruth. That letter addressed to the world and said, quote, "This was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, but I failed you," end quote. The DOJ said Ruth's cell phone access towers near Mar-a-Lago and Trump International Golf Course between August 18th and September 15th. One man dead, another in jail after a shooting in Beulah Sunday night. The Escambia Sheriff's Office said they responded to a shots fired call on Rebel Acres Lane about 10 o'clock on Sunday. An unidentified 40-year-old man was found dead in the yard with a gunshot wound. 33-year-old Dennis Herrera was arrested after a traffic stop a short time later. He's now charged with second-degree murder and is being held in the Escambia County Jail. The sheriff's office says the suspect and victim had previously been roommates and were involved in some type of disagreement. An investigation continues. The 7-month-old child that was the subject of an Amber Alert last night has been safely located. A suspect, the child's father, 35-year-old Daryl Fulmar, was arrested. The Escambia Sheriff's Office said the child was believed to have been with Fulmar, who did not have custody. When that Amber Alert was issued, the child was found safely within hours of the alert. Fulmar is now being held in the Escambia County Jail on charges with interference with the custody of a minor, contempt of court, and property damage. An investigation is underway after a mother and her 10-year-old daughter were found dead yesterday in what's believed to have been a murder-suicide. Escambia County deputies responded to a home in the 2000 block of North B Street for a welfare check on Monday. A woman was found deceased in bed with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Her 10-year-old daughter was also found dead in that bed with a gunshot wound. Investigators believe the woman had killed her daughter, then turned the gun on herself. No other information has been released in that case. Marco Rubio has a plan designed to stop anti-Semitism on college campuses. He wrote in the Wall Street Journal yesterday that he wants to extend the Civil Rights Act to cover religious discrimination. It's part of his Preventing Anti-Semitic Harassment on Campuses Act. Rubio said that bill targets harassment the Supreme Court has already ruled is not protected by the First Amendment. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a nice sunny day today with a temperature near 88 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping to your 74. For Wednesday, rain chances start to increase. We are expecting potential tropical cyclone 9 to make its way into the Gulf of Mexico, eventually becoming a hurricane before making landfall in the Big Bend. Coastal conditions going to be looking rough for us as our main concern. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 70 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. NASA is preparing to launch its first mission to explore Jupiter's moon, Europa, to determine if it harbors survivable conditions. This is because scientists believe the moon has a salty ocean beneath its icy crust. The mission is set to launch October 10th. Shares of Chinese automakers climbed yesterday, shrugging off a U.S. government proposal to ban certain types of vehicles equipped with car parts from China and Russia. The Biden administration has cited national security risks for its latest measure. Boeing said it has extended its best and final offer with higher pay and other increases, but the union rebuffed it, arguing it was not a negotiated proposal. More than 30,000 Boeing employees are currently on strike. Bank of America estimates it is costing Boeing $50 million a day. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 61. The Dow closed at another record high. That's your money now.
It's the return of 0% financing for a very popular Volkswagen from Peakmore Imports. The 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan is now available with 0% financing for a full 60 months. The already discounted Tiguan S is now from $29,499 with a choice to finance through Volkswagen credit at 0% for a full 5 years. But if 0% isn't your thing, take an additional $2,000 off the already discounted price for a lower sale price of $27,499. And low rates like 2.9% for 60 months are available on the 2024 family-sized Atlas. Or the choice of $3,000 in customer cash. And the Atlas Cross Sport with 2.9% for 60 months. Or the choice of $2,500 in customer cash. The numbers are looking better and better at Peakmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices.
Special APR rate for qualified credit to PCI and a standalone offer not to be combined with customer cash discount. Sell price before tax, title, and income fees. See dealer for details.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Next time on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Tuesday, Amy Marquez from Pensacola Sports in at 5:20 to discuss the SEC Women's Soccer Championships. Where is potential Tropical Cyclone 9 headed? We'll tell you about that. Local news, sports, and the five-day forecast. It's Pensacola Right Now just after 4 weekdays on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays, 4 till 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday we had a really good conversation with Sam Young, the CEO of Habitat for Humanity, Pensacola Habitat for Humanity, about their community land trust, or CLT as you sometimes hear it referred to, what they're doing. They're kind of rolling out an explanation of this actually tomorrow with a bunch of community leaders And we talked with Sam about it because it's kind of a new thing, even though it's been in place for a little while, and how it works. And, you know, got a lot of answers on that. Sam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. And just for the people who will particularly care about this, you were an ASICS intruder backseater, right?
Right? Yeah. Well, we don't have a backseat, but yeah, we...
Our side seat, right? It's side by side,
right? Exactly.
Sorry. Is that right or left seat? I want to say it the right way. Which one were you?
Right seat.
Right seat. Yep. Okay. And did they call them NFOs back then, or was CISO, or?
Yeah, Bombardier Navigators. Yep.
Okay. Very good. So a funny guppy looking plane, but you know, not the plane you want to be on the receiving end of, right?
That's exactly right. Yep.
Very
on
good.
Target, on time, every time.
And lots of other things supporting 6th Fleet, 2nd Fleet, Center for Naval Leadership, lots of other stuff before you came here to Pensacola or came back to Pensacola. And, you know, we're very glad to have you. The reason I wanted to have you on today is you're kind of doing a meeting this week with some community leaders about the Trust for Public Land, right, which is something that you guys operate?
That's right. We are rolling out our community land trust, and this is an initiative that as a result of the escalating pricing and affordability of homeownership, and the fact that wages just aren't keeping up and that gap is ever widening, we are no longer able to serve those families and those individuals who most need our support, and they're getting left behind. So we did a lot of research. We scanned the country for models and strategies that would help us address and find a solution. And what we have settled on is this concept of a community land trust. And we will now start accumulating, and we have already started to accumulate land in our land bank. And then we will build homes, or maybe even others will build homes on land trust property. And then these lower income or workforce buyers will purchase the home and then lease the underlying land. And what is the brilliance of this concept is there are covenants in that lease that do a couple things. It simultaneously brings down the cost of homeownership because you're extracting the cost of land. So people are only buying the bricks and sticks. But there's also, and that lease is at a nominal fee, but there's also provisions in the ground lease that require for the homeowner to pay it forward, meaning whatever subsidies they have received, whatever down payment assistance they receive, they are required to pass on to the next home buyer. And that home buyer, by covenant, has to be another income qualified individual or family. So therefore, for the first time ever in this market, not only are we going to create an initial stock of affordable homes, but we're going to create a permanent. And that's the beauty of this, a permanent stock of affordable homes. So we are going to continue to build these homes, and these homes will be affordable for generations to come.
Now, the way this works, because it's an interesting idea, and I feel like I don't quite understand some of the particulars of it. I get the general idea, which is
sure.
You guys or the city will own the land, and it'll go into the community land trust, and that'll save them, obviously, the cost of the land portion of their house. And the ability to protect who's going to be able to purchase it on the other end. But just pardon me for asking simple questions, but so a person actually owns the house, but they only lease the land from the community land trust. That's the first thing. So it's actually their house, just like out on the beach where they don't own the land, they lease the land, right?
Yeah, the only difference is on the beach, there is no restrictions on the appreciation or no governor, so to speak, on the appreciation of the property.
Got it, right.
Here, there are inherent governors to prevent this home from appreciating out of the affordability category.
So how does that work? Because a home, it seems to me like, you know, a home is whatever its market value is. Is it because they're restricted on who they can sell it to, or there's like some kind of a variant on the homestead exemption that keeps down the price of the home itself? How does that actually work? I'm really interested in how.
A couple things to think about. Whatever home we live in right now, when we buy that home and then we sell that home 25 or 30 years later, the majority of the appreciation that you enjoy over that period of time isn't the appreciation of the actual house. It's the appreciation of the underlying land. So when you extract the land from that equation, it puts a limit on how much is going to appreciate. The other, and then there's a shared appreciation. So in that ground lease, the initial buyer agrees that they are going to share whatever appreciation occurs with the land trust. So they're going to extract a portion of the appreciation. They're going to extract all the principal payments they made on their mortgage. So they're going to walk away with some equity. They're going to walk away with the initial creation of some generational wealth, but it's just going to be limited. And that's what allows the affordability to continue from generation to generation to generation.
Okay.
And I want to, I think one of the most important things I want to point out, Andrew, is this is not, this is not an alternative to someone who is in a position to go out and buy a fee simple home, including the land. This is an alternative to someone who is in a rental situation. And we know that in a rental situation, you don't accumulate any wealth. You don't get any return on that investment.
Right.
So what we're offering is a less expensive solution for a higher quality home that you own.
Yeah, and I mean, I can see why that would, as you say, if you can take out the land portion, then you can have something that's going to be much more affordable, especially if you're, you know, splitting the appreciation back with the land trust, that you have something that's more affordable, and it's specifically constrained towards people who would qualify for it, which, you know, is naturally going to help the purchasing side of it as well for people who need that. Interesting. I have more questions, but I want to ask, are they generally intended to be what you were talking about, 20-25-year ownership, or are they meant to be relatively transitional until people can afford to buy a standard home?
That's exactly right, and the answer is yes. So there are going to be families that are finding themselves, you know, maybe they're wrapping up some educational or certifications, and they envision their income growing, you know, over the next 5 or 10 years, and this is a wonderful transition to get them out of that potentially substandard rental, understand and enjoy all the benefits of home ownership, and then eventually move on to a full fee simple home. Others are going to move in, and there are going to be some families that choose this not because necessarily of the affordability component, but because of the location. We're going to build some homes in the core of Pensacola on land trust property. And what that's going to help prevent is this displacement that is happening, you know, throughout the city of Pensacola. And therefore, people are going to choose a land trust home because they want to live closer to the core of Pensacola or, you know, a different locale. And this is a way for them to afford a home in a location that they would otherwise not be able to afford.
How does it work with the property taxes? You know, I know that one of the challenges with gentrification is that your home values go up, your property taxes go up, and if you're on a fixed income, right, it's harder to afford to maintain those homes at those. I mean, that's part of the equation, right?
Right.
But how does it work with the community land trust homes? Does the person who buys the home still operate as if an owner, the way a homestead exemption would work, and then they can carry that with them to the next home, as in, does that held down value of the property taxes of the home flush away when you do a sale the way it does with a private sale, or is there some other mechanism here?
Yeah, that's a great, insightful question, Andrew. And yes. So what happens is, and what has traditionally has happened with land trusts, and there are a few in the state of Florida who have addressed this, that they argue with the property tax appraiser that the value of this land needs to be significantly reduced as opposed to if you are appraising it as a fee simple property. And some of the property tax appraisers have bought into that theory and some have not.
Okay.
However, a year and a half ago, as part of the Live Local Act, the legislature has codified the practice of some of those municipalities. And now by law, the underlying land is not it's appraised at zero. So the land trust homeowner is only paying property taxes on the value of the bricks and sticks.
Okay.
So another opportunity to reduce the cost of home ownership for our land trust property owners.
Very interesting. Okay, so I feel like I mostly get it. I feel like there are nuances of this. And by the way, I just want to make sure, I'm 90% sure I know the answer to this, but as you said in the beginning, these are not what you would typically consider habitat homes. These are ordinary homes that could have been built by anybody. They just happen to be on the land owned by the community land trust, right?
That's correct. Now I'm not correct you, but I just want to point out something that we have painfully tried to address, because there is this maybe lagging stigma in the community that, as you referred to, a habitat home is different than a market rate or a
I really wanted to get to this with you too. So good, go ahead. Yeah, because I stumbled across some a couple of years ago when we were biking and we got to talking to one of the homeowners. Hey, these are really nice homes. She's like, they're habitat homes. Like, they're not. And she said, oh yeah, they are. So the kind of homes that you all build are completely different than what people think of like 20 years ago.
Yeah, I challenge people all the time to go around and find me a home that's not, I don't like to refer to it as a habitat home. I refer to it as a home built by Pensacola Habitat. And I would challenge you to go find ones that have been built in the last 10 years, because they look like a home that any other builder that is building a 1,200 square foot, three bedroom, two bath home would build. They're gorgeous. As a matter of fact, twice, we have won the award for best home under $250,000 in the parade of homes.
And I totally concur based on my experience that I have seen them myself and, you know, kind of was curious, oh, who designed those? She's like, Habitat. I'm like, the what now? You know, so, but you still do the old concept of qualifying through sweat equity, and that's how you get eligible in order to have a home, as you're saying, I'm trying to use your phraseology, a home built by Pensacola Habitat, right?
That's correct. And this land trust, even though we're doing homes on land trust, we still, as a matter of fact, we don't have a waiting list. And I think that's an important point I'd like to get out. We are still putting people through our traditional program.
Okay.
Where they come in, they qualify, you know, we put them through some education, they put in a little bit of sweat equity, and at the end of about a 9-month cycle, we build them a home on a lot they select with some colors and cabinets they select, mm-hmm. and a home style they select. So it's almost a custom home that we are building on a lot that they select out of our inventory. And in 9 months, they are a homeowner. And that program is still alive and well. As a matter of fact, 4 years ago, we were doing in the low 20s. This year, we're going to do 60 of those homes, not including the land trust.
And one just last thing about, because I'm getting some questions in from the listeners, and I think it's a good one, is normal home loan, home inspection, insurance, repairs are, I assume, all exactly as if you own the home under ordinary circumstances, that none of that is affected by being in the CLT. Is that right?
They have all the privileges and all the responsibilities of home ownership.
Very good. And can you maybe just give people a sense of what's the current footprint? Like, how many acres are in the land trust and kind of what your goal is over the next, say, 5 years for the size of the land trust?
Yeah, so when we established the land trust, one of the things that that we, the staff and the board, agreed to was we were not going to divert resources from our habitat program into the land trust.
Okay.
So we said we're going to start this. We're going to get the community excited about it, but we're going to look to the outside to resource the land trust, largely with either grant donations or county or city lots, surplus lots that get moved into the land trust. And let me just give you a quick rundown on how we're doing with that.
Okay, hey, Sam, we're almost totally out of time.
Yep.
Sorry. And I know you're doing this big meeting today, and I know there'll be more information coming, or meeting on Wednesday, but I know there's more information coming out. Any rough, like just a ballpark for the current size?
Well, the state gave us $1.3 million a year and a half ago.
Okay.
The city has already started moving land out of the land, out of the city's coffers into the land trust. They're embracing it. Santa Rosa County has moved land into our land trust.
Okay. And zoning is all just like it would normally be, or is there something special about it? Zoning is just like normal. Okay.
No different. Yep.
Good. Well, Sam, I'm so sorry to have to rush off, but I mean, very interesting information. I'm definitely looking forward to learn more about it. Sam Young is the CEO of Pensacola Habitat for Humanity. Sam, thanks for your military service. Thanks for coming to the community and for helping me and helping our home challenge people to have a place that they can live. I really appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Had somebody text in, I don't know about this whole thing. It sounds kind of sketchy and weird, and I'm not sure I believe it. I understand. I do. I mean, you know, but then again, it's part of the legislation, remember, that they put in last year. Part of, you know, what Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves has been talking about. Sam Young, obviously, Habitat for Humanity, they know what they're talking about. I think it's just a different way of, you know, doing ownership than maybe you're used to hearing about. But think of how weird it would sound. Okay, imagine a world in which every home was just fee simple. Every home was you own the land and the structure. And then somebody came along and said, all right, I got an idea. What we're going to do is the government has got land. It's over here by the ocean front, the Gulf front, and that's on the beach. And what we're going to do is we're not going to sell you the land, but we're going to let you build a house on that land, and then you're going to lease – you're going to pay lease payments to us for the land for 99 years. What do you think? I mean, that would seem super weird, right? If in a world where we didn't have leased land-owned structures like we have, if you introduce that idea, people would be like, wait, so who owns it? Well, you do, but the land, the government does. Right? So a lot of times, it's not so much that the idea is weird, it's that you're just not familiar with it. It's a different idea than we've seen before. And I think that's where this community land trust thing is. Because even John, you and I were talking, you know, kind of while we were listening to the replay of that interview. And you were like, so who owns it? Private people. I'm like, no, the trust owns it. He's like, the trust. I'm like, yeah, it's a legal entity that's designed to satisfy this function, partially created, you know, favored or at least facilitated by the legislation. And like, but who? I get it. I get it. It's, you know, but there you go. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you, speaking of real estate things, not particularly this one, but in general, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home and you want to understand, or you have questions about, you know, land trust or, you know, leased land or where can you build and what can you build and how does all that work? Hey, good. Ask an expert. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. I was just talking with her the other day about, she was actually at a real estate conference and now she was telling me that more than half of all real estate agents sell less than a home a year. So you have a lot of people who have licenses who aren't very active, right? Who don't do much and aren't particularly successful at it on a regular basis. And then lots of people only sell a couple of homes a year, you know, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6, something like that. She and her team at Leavenworth Realty last year sold 175, and through so far this year, they sold 122. So lots, right? You know, maybe something like 3 a week is about what they're clicking along at. And when you have an uncertain market where interest rates are changing and the rules of commissions are changing and the insurance market is itself up in flux and just kind of hard to keep track of all of these things, that's why you want an expert to be sure to get you the best possible deal, buying or selling, including paying attention to stuff you wouldn't have thought about before, like, you know, do I have to replace the roof? Buying or selling? Do I need to replace the water heater? Buying or selling? Like, those are really questions right now because that all affects either whether you can or the buyer can get insurance or what the price of that insurance is going to be. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend, and she said, oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours. And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola.
All right, 559 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, I am right here with the headline.
We're tracking the storm, Dave. Well, I know you get your local news coming up here in just a second. We're paying attention to this storm. We're going to see how it forms probably later today, even over into Wednesday. It seems more likely to be going east, but obviously things can change.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.